Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Building Small a Toolkit for Real Estate Entrepreneurs, Civic Leaders, and Great Communities by Jim Hyde is a practical nonfiction book about small-scale real estate development and community building. Rather than treating development as the domain of large institutional players, Hyde focuses on incremental projects that are more responsive to local context, easier to adapt to changing markets, and often better suited to strengthening neighborhoods. The book draws on research, interviews with developers, and the author's professional experience to explain how smaller projects are conceived, financed, designed, and delivered. Its purpose is both instructional and corrective. It helps readers understand the development process while arguing that communities benefit when more people can participate in shaping the built environment. The result is part guidebook, part field manual, and part policy-oriented argument for a more flexible approach to real estate development. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why small-scale development matters in contemporary cities and towns. A central idea in the book is that small-scale development is not a niche substitute for large projects, but an essential part of healthy urban and suburban growth. Hyde presents small projects as more fine-grained and context-sensitive than conventional large development, which often depends on standardized formulas that can ignore local conditions. This matters because neighborhoods are rarely static. They need buildings and uses that can fit irregular parcels, support existing community patterns, and respond to real demand in measured steps. By framing small development as essential to communities of every size, the book challenges the assumption that only major projects can produce meaningful impact. Instead, it argues that incremental work can rebuild streets, activate underused property, and create a stronger relationship between investment and place. The emphasis is not simply aesthetic. It is also economic, because smaller projects can be more manageable and market responsive, allowing development to proceed in stages rather than requiring large upfront commitments. Secondly, the development process, viewed through the constraints of small builders, Hyde does not abandon the standard real estate development sequence. He reinterprets it from the perspective of smaller actors. The book walks through the classic steps of the process, but it pays particular attention to where small developers face friction, especially in land acquisition, financing, approvals, and coordination. This is one of the book's most useful contributions because small projects often fail not from lack of vision, but from structural disadvantages that make conventional development tools hard to use. A small builder may have limited capital, less bargaining power, and fewer chances to absorb delays or design changes. By identifying these constraints, the book helps readers understand why a viable project on paper can still be difficult to execute in practice. The underlying point is that development systems are often built for scale, while many communities actually need more accessible pathways for smaller enterprises. That makes process knowledge as important as design or finance. Thirdly, bridging economics, design, and civic purpose. The book is notable for treating real estate development as a discipline that must integrate economics, design thinking, and public purpose rather than optimizing only for profit or appearance. Hyde's background in landscape architecture and real estate development informs this approach, which sees built form as a practical outcome of multiple overlapping decisions. In small-scale projects, this integration is especially important because each decision has outsized impact on the surrounding context. A project that is financially viable but poorly sited can weaken a block. A beautiful design that ignores basic economics may never get built. Hyde therefore positions development as a balancing act among feasibility, form, and civic value. This perspective is useful for civic leaders as well as entrepreneurs, because it shows that community outcomes are shaped not only by policy, but by the everyday choices embedded in project planning. The book's argument is that good development should be legible to markets and beneficial to neighborhoods at the same time. Fourthly, a toolkit for public and private actors, not just developers. One of the book's defining features is its broad intended audience. It is written for real estate entrepreneurs, civic leaders, urban planners, economic developers, investors, and other stakeholders who influence how projects happen. That wider framing matters because small development often depends on cooperation across sectors. Private actors need reasonable site conditions, financing, and permits, while public actors need development that advances local goals such as revitalization, walkability, and neighborhood stability. Hyde's toolkit approach reflects the reality that no single group controls the full process by presenting the subject as a shared civic and financial challenge. The book encourages readers to see how policy, incentives, and local capacity can either enable or block smaller projects. This makes the book especially relevant for readers who want practical ideas rather than abstract advocacy. It suggests that improving the built environment is not only about producing more buildings, but about making the system more navigable for a wider range of participants. Lastly, lessons from research, case studies, and practitioner interviews. The book's authority comes from its method as much as its thesis. Hyde draws on extensive research, case studies, interviews with more than 100 developers, and firsthand observation from site tours in multiple US cities. That blend gives the book a grounded perspective on how small development works across different settings. Instead of offering a single formula, it gathers recurring lessons from practitioners who have faced real constraints and adapted to local opportunities. This matters because small-scale development is inherently context-dependent. What works in one city or neighborhood may not transfer directly to another. The case-based approach helps the reader see patterns in process, risk, and decision-making without pretending that all projects are identical. It also makes the book more credible as a professional resource, since the arguments are tied to field experience rather than theory alone. In that sense, the book functions as both a synthesis of practice and a guide for people who want to build more responsibly at neighborhood scale. In conclusion, Building Small is best suited for readers who want a realistic, process-oriented understanding of how modest real estate projects are conceived and delivered. Real estate entrepreneurs will find it useful as a practical guide to the obstacles that can derail small deals, while civic leaders, planners, and economic developers can use it to think more clearly about how policy and local capacity shape development outcomes. It is also valuable for investors and designers who want to understand why smaller projects require different tools than large institutional ones. What distinguishes the book from many other real estate titles is its consistent focus on incremental, context-sensitive development rather than scale for its own sake. It does not simply celebrate smallness. It explains why smaller projects can be more adaptable, more responsive to place, and more accessible to a broader range of participants. That combination of argument and toolkit makes it especially relevant for anyone interested in practical neighborhood revitalization and more sustainable community building. If you would like to support Jim Hyde, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.